Okay. Well, I was asked to give a little talk about more about sort of how I encountered the Dharma, so I will try and sort of vaguely relate that to the fact that I'm a young person. And I only found out I was giving the talk yesterday as well, so it's a bit scrambled together and scribbled on the back of a couple of flyers, so we'll see how we go. I'll start by saying that I'm 26 years old, and I suppose the seed of the Dharma was first planted when I was about 16 or 17. Just in one conversation I had with my brother. And it was the first time I'd ever heard it mentioned, and it just sort of planted a seed of, I might look into that at some point. And it wasn't for another 3 years or so that I did look into that, but at that time when I was in my late teens, as a lot of teens are, I was really, really idealistic. You know, I had a real sense that I wanted to make the best of my life. And I actually had a really strong fear that I would lose that idealism. All the adults that I knew at that time would say to me, you know, oh, I was quite idealistic when I was young, but you kind of grow out of it. And, you know, they all just kind of settled and they got a job that they didn't really like very much. And, I mean, I'm generalising, but I had this really deep fear that I would get into my mid-20s and it would just all sort of fizzle out and I'd settle down and lead a nice, pleasant, quiet life. So I suppose in terms of trying to relate what I was yearning for as that idealistic teenager and what the Dharma provides, there are parallels, and I did, you know, it's looking back that I realised those parallels. You know, when I read over what I wrote about back in my teens, there are real parallels. Like, I used to write a lot about the fact that I had a sense that it was your attitude to life that was much more important than getting just the right job and just the right this and that and the other. And the adults that I really, really respected were ones that I met that had a certain presence about them, a certain attitude. It didn't seem to matter what they did for a living. And in a sense, that's what the Buddha said, you know, that trying to arrange your external life to exactly match all of your likes and dislikes is not the way to go about life, because life's just not like that. And that changing your inner response to life is kind of where it's at. I just noticed those parallels. And I also had experiences when I was in my late teens that you might call sort of meditative experiences. Nothing profound. They normally involved cigarettes and wine and Café Del Mar ambient music and candles and stuff like that. And I remember one time I was on holiday with some friends and we went to this big sort of cliff-top peninsula, and it was really windy and everyone sort of went their separate ways. And I don't know quite why I did this, but I closed my eyes and put my fingers in my ears, and then I put my fingers over my nostrils. It probably looked a bit weird, so it's a good job we went our separate ways, really. And so that I could just feel the air on my skin, and then when I started to go blue because I couldn't breathe anymore, I let the air into my nose and introduced smell, and then I introduced sound, and then when I was ready, I opened my eyes. And that state of mind just really, really stuck with me, and I think it was just the first time I'd really been truly present. And I don't know why I did it, and I've never ever done it since, but looking back, that was sort of it gave me a sense that there was a state of mind that I don't normally inhabit that was quite important. So I had these experiences that, looking back, the Dharma sort of met those yearnings in me. I was also really attracted to sort of alternative societies, you know, hippies and the counterculture and really weird, wacky cults and gypsies and New Age travellers. Anyone who's trying to create a sort of small society within the society at large that was based on slightly different values. Because my experience of adults had been that you kind of just get a nice car and a nice job and a nice this, that and the other, I was just always very inspired when I met people who were just trying to live by different values within the society at large. So, yeah, in a sense, that was the ground that the Dharma was planted into. As a young person, that's what I was yearning for, and that's what I was yearning for when I met the Dharma. And so when I was about 20, I was in an evolution shop and I saw a book called Introducing Buddhism. And remembering that conversation I'd had with my brother, I bought it. And it just made such common sense. I mean, I won't go into sort of the ins and outs of it, because I've only got 10 minutes, but it just, you know, it seemed so blindingly obvious, yet I wasn't quite sure why I wasn't living my life like that, you know. So for me, it was a really rational pursuit. And for about a year after that, reading that book, I became a sort of book Buddhist. And I just, when I was meant to be revising for my finals, I was in the library reading books about Buddhism. And it was a very secretive affair for me for about a year. And then I found the Birmingham Buddhist Centre on the internet, and I went along to Wednesday lunchtime drop-in classes. And so that was my first contact with the Sangha. And I can't list for you, oh, it was great because of X, Y, and Z. I just had an intuitive sense that there was something really valuable in that place and what was going on there. And I used to just really look forward to it every week. I just couldn't wait to go back. I mean, the real turning point for me came about 6 months after I first come to the centre. I went on my first retreat, so this was about 2004. And I did a couple of retreats in 2004, both of them led by Vajragupta and cooked for by Sangadeva. So it's entirely their fault that I've turned into a wacky religious nut. So, but seriously, that was actually a real turning point for me, because up till then it had been such a rational path, and changed it into more of a spiritual path, I suppose, because, you know, I experienced for myself a state of, I suppose you could call it, inner stillness, and just felt like cultivating that state, and more importantly, learning how to respond to the stuff that life throws at me from that state of mind, was what I wanted my life to be about, or would at least be a good thing to do. So rather than come back and immerse myself in the Sangha, I fled the country, as you do. Because I was young, I'd intended to go backpacking, and I wanted to go backpacking, so that's what I did. And for the first 3 months of that, I had basically no contact with the Sangha whatsoever, and pretty much bare minimum Dharma practice, and I really, really missed the Sangha. It wasn't until I went to New Zealand. I was in New Zealand for about 6.5 months, and I encountered Sudarshana Loka out there, which is an FWBO community. And I stayed at the community for a while and did a couple of solitaries, and I helped to set up the first ever Buddha Field retreat that happened out there. And that was actually one of the most transformative periods of my whole life. There was just a sort of real aliveness to it. And so I came back to the UK feeling really, really invigorated, and got back involved with the Dharma again, with the Sangha, should I say. And then I got a job with a company called Contiki, who do tours of Europe for 18 to 35 year olds, so mainly Australian backpackers and stuff. And I got a job as one of their coach drivers, so living on campsites around Europe. And I did that for 2 years. So I did come back and have, you know, was at the centre and then away for months, and then at the centre and away for months. And I really, really missed the Sangha. And my Dharma practice and my way of life were just this battle. That was always the nature of it. And I found that so hard. And eventually, about just over a year ago, I gave that job up and got a job at Birmingham Buddhist Centre instead, so sort of from one extreme to the other, and moved into a Buddhist community. And I've been there for about 14 months now, and I'm thoroughly, thoroughly happy there, basically. So, I mean, that's sort of how what I was searching for and what how that and the Dharma met, if you like, what I was searching for as a young person and what the Dharma offered, if you want to use that sort of, for want of a better word. And I don't know whether those motivations were because I was young, or whether they're just because I was me and that was my own quirky likes and dislikes. But and I don't want to portray it like, oh, that's it, and now I sort of live happily ever after. It's not quite like that either. So I thought it'd be important to raise a couple of some of the issues and difficulties I had that I relate to the fact that I was young. And one of them, the first one that came to mind, is that I found the Buddhist, not the Buddhist centre, but just the atmosphere of being around Buddhists a bit stuffy, which is why I was really, really interested in what Lindsay said about it. Because that was my experience, just a sort of stuffiness. And I couldn't really put my finger on it, but it was like, you know, everybody's so nice and polite and they all say the right things and they're very meditative and calm. And I think the reason that was a problem for me was because I have that tendency in me. I can be very serious and intense about things. And I sort of need to be shaken out of that. And I feel like I'm on a path of letting go. And yet I sort of find myself in these very serious conversations. And it can seem quite stuffy. So that was an experience I had that I still have a little bit of difficulty with. And another one that's sort of partly why I brought up me going travelling things was because a lot of young people want to go travelling, and also want, you know, I wanted to have regular Sangha contact and I wanted to go travelling, and you sort of can't do both of them, and there's no quick fix solution to that. But on a sort of broader level, that travelling thing just comes out of an urge to sort of, once you come out of education, you just want to explore life, you know, you want to go out there and explore the world and do lots of crazy things and sleep around a lot. Do you know what I mean? You just want to go out there and live a bit. And I don't think that being a committed Buddhist means that you can't go out there and explore life. You know, I don't think there's anything in my life that I really want to do, but I feel I can't do because of my practice. I have a sense of that rationally, but internally, I don't, you know, in a sense, I think being a Buddhist and going out there and really making the most of life are one and the same thing in a sense. But I sort of can't get an internal sense of that. I sort of feel like I've chosen the path of just being a committed Buddhist, and that I sort of am missing out on, sort of an intuitive sense that I'm missing out on some of the stuff that people in their 20s do. Just going out there and, yeah, I can't quite explain it. It's more of an intuitive thing. So that's been, yeah, a bit of a difficulty for me also. But ultimately, I mean, we talk about the fact that there's a problem of lack of young people, and there is, and, you know, and the fact that young people aren't always attracted by the Dharma. But, I mean, the Dharma's become the most important thing in my life, and I think it's pretty much what I want to devote the rest of my life to. So I just want to end on a positive note in the sense that, you know, the Dharma has worked for this young person. So anyway, that's me.